Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for the answer to racism. And I remember attending a Black Power Committee meeting. And as a matter of fact, I was doing a fellowship in child psychiatry at that point. And I would get a voice. And you know, if you get a voice in here, you need to see a psychiatrist. If you get a voice in here, I think that's God talking to you. And the voice would say, and I would be writing up cases at the end of the day, and the voice would say, go to a Black Power Committee meeting. You know, just quietly. It wasn't frightening. So when ministers say they get a calling, I kind of know what they mean. And so this would happen over and over and over again. Again, it was subtle, very subtle, nothing to shake you up or anything, because I didn't go to meetings. And so I finally went to a Black Power Committee meeting. And after the meeting, people were sitting in somebody's apartment eating African food. And a gentleman was on the other side of the room. And I heard this man say, mind you, I'm looking for further answers to racism. And I hear this gentleman over there in the other corner saying racism is a system.
Racism is racism, and the only functional form of racism is the system of white supremacy. Now, supreme means just that. You can't have two supremes. You might have it in a singing group, but you can't have it when you start talking about color. If you say white supremacy, that means you don't have any such thing as black supremacy. That's impossible. It's either one or the other. And black people shouldn't aspire to be black supremacists. That would be just the same old form of mistreatment, but it would be done in blackface. We should replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice, which means guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Now, people who want to be member of a race are just by saying that means that they want to mistreat somebody based on color. That's all it's good for. You can't name anything that it's good for other than that. You can sit down and study and study and study and study. You can't come up with anything that would justify being a member of a race except to mistreat someone based on color. That's what it's for. That's what it always was for. It wasn't based on anything else. It wasn't based on people trying to help people do anything except mistreat someone. Well, yes, if you want to help someone to mistreat someone else, then you can have a race, because it's all about mistreatment. Race is racism.
How many people think they understand what racism is? Show of hands. Come on, you know, you think you know. I'm not suggesting I know. I just have a couple of definitions that kind of came to me as I thought about. How many people think there are white racists? That there are white racists out there? How many think there are black racists out there? Okay. Now, this is an interesting thing, because this becomes important as we begin to define concepts. I do that. I usually define concepts all the way. But one of the things that I do is I try to help people get a picture of what I mean by racism. So tell me how it is. First category is white racism, then we'll deal with black racism. So white racism. Tell me the ways in which white racism adversely impacts the lives of black people. Just what are the ways that white racism can adversely impact the lives of black people as a group? What are some of those ways? I'm sorry? Power, but how is that defined specifically? Education, okay. I'm sorry? Economically, employment. What else? Housing, what else? Policing, why are we here today? Healthcare, okay. Now, we could actually kind of grow that list. Now we're going to move over to black racism. Tell me the ways in which black racism adversely impacts the lives of white people as an entire group.
Thank you.
The reason why you become silent, there's one that always comes up, and that's fear. White people are afraid of black people. They are afraid of us. And it's a very interesting thing, because black people know it. We know white people are afraid. But you have to start getting into the psychology. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid? But it's an interesting dynamic. Now, also, you see the difference in what racism is, do you not? Racism implies you have not just prejudice, but the power to do something with that prejudice.
Racism is a system. Now, I want to repeat after me. Racism is a system.
We are at war. I don't think there's any other way to begin this or to say it. We are at war. We're in a physical war of attrition, which for some people it may appear that we are losing, but I measure based upon how far I've moved away from being European. The slave's wisdom is in the master's head. When deeds speak, words are meaningless. If they come and get your men at night, they'll be back in the morning for your women. Proverbs are people's wisdom. But when you teach children in Proverbs, then you are cultivating their ability to think. We have to stop sometimes. Someone will say a proverb to us, and we have to stop and think about what it means. And then what it means in terms of the context of whatever they're talking to us in. Because Proverbs work your brain. Proverbs make you think. Imagine what we would have in our communities if every other sentence, every other discussion we had, we presented our children with a proverb relative to that. What kind of firepower we would have in the minds of our children. We wouldn't have a situation like we have now where we move from miseducation where they're given the wrong information to diseducation where they don't want to have to think because it's work. Proverbs shows you how intelligent you are. It gives you the wisdom of your ancestors. I wanted to go through a list of what it is to be a man, or what manhood is supposed to be about already. So for me, manhood involves at least five major components. You have educator, leader, provider, protector, and respecter of women. In our home, politics are simple. Politics don't have to be big. They should really be simple things. For any and I, no Euros, no homos, no Negroes. Remember one word for me. It's a very important word in our house. John Henry Clark talked about how the Romans, when they wanted to conquer Kemet, they would greet each other every day. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must not fall. Greetings, fellow Roman. Egypt must fall. And this was an affirmation they said to each other day in and day out until they did it. We must say something along those lines. How you say and what you say, that's up to you, but we need to incorporate that into our conversation. We say a BB Fahodie. Can you say that with me? A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. That's tree for African liberation. A BB Fahodie. We say that when we greet each other in the morning. We say that when we walk out the door. We say that when we're going to bed. We say that whenever anyone sneezes. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie. A BB Fahodie.
The assault against African centeredness.
is increasing in size and magnitude. There's a lot of fear in our community. There's a lot of need to be validated and loved by enemies in our community. There's a lot of need to run from who you are because it is something that you despise. Self-hatred and matricide are deep, and it seems like they're growing deeper. But what I see in front of me tells me that it's not victorious. If there's one person sitting here, then that means that we haven't lost. We have a lot of work to do, and we need to focus our attention on our children, because they're the ones who are the primary targets right now on this issue and every other issue of insanity.
Baba Baruch.
It turns us into somebody who we are not. If we're going to win, we have to produce warriors.
Initiated, student of the Iwa, so baptized by the warrior teachers. I'm training, learning how to shoot the gauge while you burning sage, playing video games. This message here's for the RBG Brigade. Shed blood, bring peace, that's the warrior's way. Libation is the blood, sweat, and tears. EYA, Hashe, I'm bringing death to the quiz. I wanna live, so I die for the kids. Back smack, gangsters coming home from bids. Free your dome, you only hard to kill your own. A straight race, straight up, the white man's clone. Burrito man, I'ma continue to plan. Choke the life out of a cracker with my bare hands. That's my word, my deed, and my thought. From sun up to sundown, true warriors fought.
This needs to be emulated everywhere we are at. Those people who are calling themselves warriors, well, the root word of warrior is war. And either you're playing games and trying to be a faith thug, or you really are about the business of protecting your community because you realize that we are at war. And you act like we are at war, not like we are at peace.
Firm handshake, look a brother in the eye so I could tell if he fake. I could see through the disguise if he got a forked tongue, speaking disrespectful lies. I sought to Baba Baruch, respect him cause he wise. Dropping wisdom on the pages, so stand up and be courageous. Our enemies engaging with grenades and shoddy gauges, with machetes, with the razors, with the stick or with the stone, or bare knuckles to their faces. Got a hatred for the racists, other times are for the traitors. Won't forget about the lynchings, how they fed us to the gators. Real gangsters protect their neighbors, won't betray us for some paper. Our secrets keep it sacred. Our legacy's the greatest, they the greatest, cause they haters, they some haters. I drop it like an anchor with the hopes that it'll change us. The artificial flavors, you wanna be a player while they hanging. So which team you playing for, the underdog or for the face?
Warriors are supposed to be about the business of defending those people in their community. They're supposed to be about the business of making people comfortable, giving them a space. People say warriors are healers, and they are. Sometimes healing is that tough love thing where you gotta handle people in a particular way. But our job is to make it so that our people have all obstacles removed from their way in being African.
In the African spiritual realm, you cannot think of the spiritual deity by himself. Unlike the Western world, although we see that they took the Neturt or the goddess out of the African spiritual system, but we can see when someone is corrupting something, we can see how they make mistakes because that union is still there, even in the scriptures. It says, let us make man in our own image.
Goddess is obvious, this devil got us at each other's throats like we don't need each other just to stay afloat. I took a solemn oath I wouldn't abandon you, be a man for you, stand for you, let it bang for you. Be omnipresent, setting a standard for our children, living life in the likeness and image of ourselves. Bias and forwards in the wilderness and hells of North America. Goddess incarnate, Orisha of my heart, my reflection, my lifeline, my all spark, my conscience, the battery in my back, the clip to my ratchet when I'm on the attack. Make a house into a home, escape madness in our palace. The warmth of her embrace focuses my malice. We know the enemy and its many faces, and their many motives to try to decimate us. One is separation, I don't want a vision that anxiety. Literally for the life of me, I'd rather die than be with that other white meat. Brothers like to sightsee, saying they like variety. But that's a cop out, he won't see the light. Black woman got the most variety, cause there's no phenotype. That's even in or there, let me make it clear. I don't just gotta love you, I wanna love you. Yes, let's take it there. For brothers seeking out your compliments, you should only look at one continent. Brothers seeking out your compliments, you should only look at one continent. Never mind the geographic location. When you look at her God, you know where she from. Look at her head, son. Look at her.
Damn, son.
Nah, man. Don't get it twisted, I respect your intellect too. Nah, queen, this isn't just sexual. Love and respect is due, but I'm a man with words fail to be adequate. All I can say is, in the relationship, I'll be the anchor, you the sail. Only through miscommunication can we fail. My business is your business. When I get big-headed, you let me know I'm tripping and give forgiveness. I'd be lying if I ain't wanna wring your neck sometimes, but in the bigger pic, I'd be killing sunshine. Say it with me, a BB for OD. Hey, yes, my lady, that's the only aim. As we build, being examples for the village, keeping the family peace and punishing the wicked. If I come home with blood on my hands, you already know what it is and who it was. Let's match. Brother seeking out your compliments, you should only look at one continent. Brother seeking out your compliments, you should only look at one continent. Our goals align, homes fortified. Let's hold the line, let's hold the line. I live for you, you live for me. Ain't no mystery, ain't no mystery.
So in a nutshell, I'm compelled to spell it out, yell it out to the world. My black woman, my black pearl. Many have tried, but have been denied. Access to heaven is for heavenly bodies and reserved for gods. My heart pumps blood, so love flows in my hemoglobin. I give you my life if you needed it. I will be your donor, and this is far from over. Yes. This is far from over.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Doom Knowledge Radio, the place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah, and we are here on the Solidarity Saturday episode to pay homage and tribute to our divine goddess mother, elder and ancestor who came to us in the divine and righteous name of Dr. Francis Crest Wilson, author of the Isis paper and co-creator of the Crest Wilson theory analyzing the nature of white supremacy. So our phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755, again, 929-477-1755, press 1 with your questions or comments. We want to begin by reading from the sacred text in Yahshua Sim, a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts by esteemed warrior elder and living African ancestor, Dr. Nwali Muke Bumani Baruli. Let's look here on the 23rd of March. When deeds speak, words are meaningless. This is an African proverb. Explanation. In our quest for real models of revolutionary warrior scholars, we must remember that our closet and most powerful sheroes and heroes rise during times of conflict with others. They are awakened to their power during our hardest times. Conflict when enemies test strengths and loyalties. Struggle tempers. Our sheroes and heroes also held another quality in common. Even though death is a sure sign of being at war, they refused to entertain a fear of it. As bona fide warriors, they were willing to die for the people. Martyrs do not want to die, but they recognize its historical inevitability when dealing with destroyers who know little else. Through their show of strength, they make it clear that as warrior scholars, we must know that we'd rather die as Africans than vicariously, intimately live as Europeans. Like them, the future for us must become more crucial than our own physical survival. For us, the spiritual crisis challenges our deepest thinking about the mobilization of power and creation of reality. Affirmation. Struggle simples me. And that's our daily reading from Inya Sasen, a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts given to us by our warrior scholar, African elder, living ancestor, Dr. Nwale Kaboomanigbubi. And you can get this along with his other sacred texts from www.occupanthouse.com. So we are here today on March 23rd, 2019, to pay homage and tribute to that warrior ancestor, Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, who dedicated her time with us on the planet to giving us the proper analysis of the nature of white supremacy. She was born March the 18th. So on March the 18th, there were many of those in the digital realm that were paying homage on her actual solar return. And I wanted to give it a few days to go past the realm of the digital celebration and get into the actual veneration. She is in need of our veneration daily, not just on her solar return. No different than the ancestors that we venerate and we honor and we remember and we call on their sacred names in our families and in the larger African community. But it begins with our families. That is our foundation. And if it's one thing that Dr. Wilson stood for, is that life-affirming spirit of continuing on African families. And she called us of the darker hue, crystal black. So we want to honor her and uplift her for bringing to us the sacred text entitled The Isis Papers, and for so many of her lectures and time spent on the Crest theory of color, so much so that the demand went into this book, giving us a breakdown of racism, white supremacy, and how it operates as a local and global system. And it works in nine quadrants. I'm gonna just get it up here. So her and Dr. Nellie Fuller Jr. came together and began to speak to these nine major areas of people activity in which racism and white supremacy dominate and control. So the nine areas of people activity are economics, education, and entertainment, labor law and politics, religion, sex, and war. And if you check the archives, myself and Dr. Mock, Brother Owen Wiley, Red and Blue Pill, along with some other family, I went through the Crest Theory in a series to look at this from these apparent situations to the undetectable, so opposite ends of the spectrum all the way through. So most detectable, less detectable, and least detectable, depending on the level of erosion. And as our great ancestor, Dr. Bobby Wright, called that state of menticide that you existed, the least detectable place, yet the most detrimental and the most extreme of the end of the spectrum with religion, sex, and war. So when we deal with economics, education, and entertainment, we see these things hidden in plain sight. We see the wealth gap in economics. We see the achievement gap in education, and we see the false betrayal of our people in regards to entertainment. So what's entertainment for our enemies? What's education for our enemies? And what's economics for our enemies exist at the express destruction of our people. And when we begin to look at what Dr. Wells was giving us, she was giving us insight into this particular psychosis that we operate under in the space of illusion. And so if we look at that first quadrant, we see how we begin to become indoctrinated and interdependent. We become indoctrinated through entertainment, through education. And so now we see through those two mediums, we begin to look at this situation and how we deal with things from an economic standpoint. So if your education is controlled and what you find a space in yourself value-wise to be entertained, what occupies your mind and what occupies your brain through education, It will control the diameter in which you exist and you express yourself through your energy and intent. So if your mind and your brain is inundated by to satisfy your enemy through a medium of exchange, that puts you in a position, or that put us in a position, to become interdependent and fund and assist with our own destruction and fortify our enemy's survival via our economic system and our complicit actions and our destruction via a continuous and consistent space of interdependency by moving and sharing economically with our enemies. So next we look at labor, law, and politics. So when we look at this labor, law, and politics, we go a step further into the abyss where we begin to look at labor law and politics. You begin to train your brain after the first quadrant. So the things that fund an economy is labor. And what controls a society is law. And the dispensers of said law are politicians who enact legislation, and they set up systems of judgment in a commercial venue to levy sanction against your private person. So there become opportunities where they levy sanction in the form of crime and punishment. So in the realm of labor law and politics, if you were not here for anything other to be in bond service, these first two quadrants have you in a realm where you don't think your own thoughts. You are controlled by entertainment, and you are controlled economically. And through the next three tiers, the next three points right here, or areas of people activity, labor law, and politics, you are subjected to the laws, rules, and ordinances of the governmental structure who has set up a political party on where you can work, who you can work for. So in turn, where you live, how much money you make, and how much money of what you make that they take back. So labor law and politics. And then on the highest rung of the tier, we have religion, sex, and war. So all of these things become weaponized, as Dr. Wilson and Dr. Nicole Jean told us. Through these areas of people activity is how they continue to rule. They have a local and a global system, and they enact this around the world. So Fuller breaks down his idea of there being three basic types of people in the known universe, that being white people, non-whites, and white supremacists, as racists. In his explanation, white people are people who classify themselves as white and have been classified as white, accepted as white, and who generally function as white in all of the 9 major areas of people activity. He defined non-whites as people who have been classified as non-white and or who generally function in the non-white in their relationships with each other. Last, white supremacists, racist people who classify themselves as white and generally function as white and who practice racial subjugation based on white, non-white at any time, in any place, in any one or more of the 9 areas of people activity. So they worked this theory in the classification of people, and they begin to analyze and break these down in the sacred text Yoruba, an African centered critique of European thought and behavior by Dr. Remember Anit, page 187, talking about religion and ideology. Well, let's go to 186 first. The new technology of exploitation required that the African become an imitation of the European. It required a total transformation that embodied new standards of success and social status. Christianity, of course, meant civilization. To be civilized was to become more like, become as much like the European as possible. A warning tells us that the converts were also encouraged to acquire European material culture. The superiority of the European way of life was rigorously inculcated. This included living in the townships that missionaries established in opposition to living in the very villages in which the African extended kin lived in. So this breaking mentally, you see this right here in the text on every aspect of African life. By introducing subtle changes and taking us out of the fold of operation and into the fold of interdependency. The missionary school discouraged the use of African language. Christian conversion meant cultural change, a change essential to the donning of the cultural clothing of European technology. The change essential to the donning of culture, of the cultural clothing of European technology. So, when you begin to change your education, when you begin to develop an appetite for your enemy's education, your enemy's entertainment, and how they entertain themselves, your enemy's economic system and what they accept for value, your enemy's law, your enemy's labor, your enemy's politics, your enemy's religion, your enemy's way of reproduction, and your enemy's strategy of war. You just have abandoned your entire culture and enveloped yourself to be a tool for the destruction of your people. Christ was a white man, and the saints were white, and the missionaries were white. Continuously, the African was told he was cursed in his adherence to the ways of his fathers because he was black-skinned. The implications were not lost to him. The fundamental erosion of the African's confidence in himself began with the first Christian convert. So when we're looking at religion, sex, and war, we are talking about what the functional definition is, how Christendom was used as a status symbol. As a status symbol. Through artful imagery, begin to erode the mind of the people, the onlookers who did not identify with the pictorial image. So how you see God in your society is very important. So they knew this God-conscious people, if you change the image, you could remain in power because it was destined, manifest destiny again, for them to be to rule. And it was godlike. One of the most important ways that the missionary education prepared Africans for capitalism in the European techno-social order was by destroying the integrity of lineage organization that formed the basis of traditional communal structure. Christianity stressed individual salvation in the Judeo-Christian material. As Awana phrases it, and it denounced all communal forms such as polygyny, the traditional education system, and especially economic communalism, the communal ownership and distribution of resources. Individualism was an implicit value of the missionary Christianism as it revealed itself among those colonized by Europeans. So just see it get progressively worse with this conversion. The civilized African behaved and dressed and spoke like a European. He had been educated in European schools that began with the mission school, and was therefore trained to uphold European values and to perpetuate European control. This is what happens when you're educated by your enemies. The purpose of any education system is to perpetuate the society that it creates. So if you're going to a European school and being indoctrinated by Europeans, you're creating a European society in blackface. The non-evolved or uncivilized African was an unsaved, uneducated, primitive, and non-Christian, and therefore a usable chattel for mines and farms. So because you did not take the conversion, you see how the labor law and the politics of society put you as an outcast in your own society. Missionary Christianism stripped colonized non-Europeans of everything. In a psychological insecure state, they could be immersed in the ideology of the technical order. And so many Africans themselves will speak of the blessings of Christianity because they're so on the ideology of progress to which its European adherents subscribe. So look how important and powerful Dr. Welser was with her analysis that would lead to such great discoveries in regards to the analysis on African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior in so many works complementary to this particular work. So many of the catchphrases that we may use today, the system of racism, white supremacy, it becomes a trendy term for one to identify themselves with a particular set of knowledge or akin to a certain type of aspect of culture. However, this is not enough. So, where does this system come from? This system comes from white people, white families. White families introduce systems of control and means of control. They don't come out of the blue. We're not fighting against a machine. So, every white family that is on the planet along with these other devil's advocates on the planet, are capitalizing off of the destruction of African people, of the separation of African families, and the interdependency of Africans upon the rest of the world. And it's not only in these terms that of the specific technological tendencies manifested in the Christian lifestyle that the essence of this relationship lies. Deification of writings, literacy, the growth of cities, etc. The compatibility of the Christian doctrine and development of technology in the West is found at a deeper and more critical level. Christian ideology is teleological, providing a conceptual model peculiar to the European Utamazo. Both are based on a peculiar to a particular image of the human. The Christian European interpretation of this human is a being who derives meaning from his ability to move toward a universal goal, both progressive and rational. So, with them being in control, this is their definition of power, control of another person. This is how they move toward these particular ideas. So this universal goal, both progressive and rational, is only achieved with them being in charge. There's this and not the not of this world doing to others' ideas that operates as the motivating factor in Christian ideology. Otherworldliness goes against the grain of technological events. So to keep you in a state of interdependence, we talk to you about having something in the sweet by and by in the sky after you die instead of something sound on the ground while you're still around, as our great warrior ancestor, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, gave it to us plain, just like that. The ideal, of course, is an abstraction that applies to unending movement itself. It is in a crucial way associated with the creation of power, and is in turn associated with efficiency. Both power and efficiency are identified with the control of nature and people and the belief that is natural and proper destiny of humans to negate nature and or the primary condition. So, depending upon this artificial stimuli and the belief in this artificial stimuli has brought these things about, and this becomes the methodology of this ruling class. To continue to keep us in a state of interdependency. So we are honored and thankful that Dr. Wilson gave her life to give us these papers and give us the key to recognizing these things amongst us and the enemies amongst us and our duty and responsibility to one another.